You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look at ways that we can come together and help each other as we minister. Today we have with us Dr. Paul Harrison. He has been a minister for many years. He has worked in many areas. He's been a writer. But what we're going to talk to him today about is something called the Free Will Baptist Catechism. This is something he developed when he was a pastor in Nashville, Tennessee, and he continues to pastor there in Alabama. And so, Dr. Harrison, we wanted you just to stop by and talk to us a bit about this catechism, how it came to be, and also we'll talk to you a little bit later about how folks can use it in the current situation that we find ourselves. So first off, welcome to the Better Together podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, how did this Free Will Baptist Catechism come to be?
In pastoring, I realized that there was a great need for teaching and instruction of the Bible and basic principles of the faith to our people. Catechisms are especially associated with young people, but the truth of the matter is they're good for everybody. And so I thought, why not have a Free Will Baptist one? And so I did it for our congregation. I really didn't have anybody else in mind when I wrote it up. I was aiming at 52 questions, one for each week of the year, and was a little long-winded and went to 56. But you know, the Catholics, the Roman Catholics have especially been associated with catechisms. And I remember my father telling me when I was young that there was this saying that, you know, the Catholics would say, if we could get your children up to about age 5 or 6, we'll have them for a lifetime, because they teach them and teach them and teach them. And I realized that the catechism, the concept of the catechism, questions, biblical, theological kind of questions and answers from Scripture, that was a great tool that, you know, nobody should have the market on that. Christians should be able to use it, whoever they are. And so I just kind of thought about it a while and finally found the impetus to put it together.
Well, it has really come in handy. And the idea was that people could sit around their dinner table, or before they go to bed, they could read a question. You have, like, for example, what is the Lord's Supper? Then there's an explanation with a scripture attached to it. So the family can sit there, they can talk about that, they can read the actual answer, and then they can read the scripture. There's nothing more scriptural than that, is there?
That's exactly right. And in fact, while usually the attention in a catechism is given to, you know, what is the answer to the question, as you say, like, what is the Lord's Supper or what is baptism? And everybody gets focused on what the answer is. And surely the answer is important. But I think that the most important thing in a catechism is the scripture that backs it up, because the wording of the catechism is, in this one, you know, I framed it. I picked the words and I've tried to speak the truth, but it has me in it. But the scripture has got the good Lord straight on there. And so it's that was an important part, and is an important part in all the catechisms, is to have those scripture verses saying, here's where you can look and see that what is said here is the truth. Mm-hmm. It's really the same principle that folks ought to be employing in listening to their preachers preach. You know, we preachers try to say the truth, and we don't stand up in the pulpit and spout lies, but we are human. And so it's always good for people to use that test of evaluate what is said or written or whatever by what Scripture says.
So there's all kinds of books, maybe even sometimes some sermons, but the really bottom line is, what does the Scripture say? A book, a sermon should point back to that. And that's the value of the catechism. What is the Lord's Supper, for example? There's an explanation, but then read the Scripture. And what happens is people begin to associate that Scripture with that particular question. You're doing it with young people, then that's a lesson they carry on for their whole lives. That was the idea behind it, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And I have just been heartened over its use. When I first did it, I just thought it would just be in our congregation. And I don't even remember the background. I remember it was published in, maybe it was one magazine years ago. And and then I heard of missionaries that were using it. And in our congregation, what we did was we would print one of the questions and answers from the catechism in our bulletin each week. And sometimes we would give attention to it, you know, verbal attention in addition to just what is printed there. But sometimes it was just that it was there. And some churches, in fact, the church where I serve now, they use the catechism in children's church. We print it in the bulletin as well for everybody. But the children's church goes over it and the young ones commit it to memory. I mean, it's slow going sometimes. But again, you get that in their souls as youngsters. The Lord really can bless that in a course of time.
So with us, Eric Thompson is the editor of One Magazine. So he brought it up to us, and Miss Elizabeth Hodges, the director of the WNAC, they had been using it on their website. Mm-hmm. And then we began to talk to various individuals, and Eric put it in this format that's pretty cool. It's people seem to like the trifold. And then as people would get it, some would use it in Wednesday night Bible studies. Some would use it as take this home, do it with your kids, which is what we want them to do. But then the different folks that speak different languages wanted it. And I think there's actually some people that, like, I'm trying to learn Spanish, or maybe even Spanish speakers. I'm trying to learn English and are doing it in that direction, actually using it in many ways. So we should say to folks, you can go to nafwb.org. You can download the catechism. You can download it in the manner that we send it out, but you could also download it as a regular 8.5 by 11 piece of paper that could be printed out and given to folks within your congregation. And it's in English, French, Spanish, and Portuguese. And so it's something that folks could use in whatever particular area they would be. Now, right now, Dr. Harrison, we're in a situation where much of the country is quarantined. This is kind of like a made-for-environment for the catechism, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. Because we are having some family time that we sometimes otherwise don't have. And so, yeah, as you indicated earlier, you could just take a question, do this one a day, and just get the family together and read the question, read the answer, look up the scriptures, comment on it a little bit. If you wanted to try to memorize it, work on the memorization some of it. I've seen teachers do it. In fact, we had a time years ago where in trying to memorize it, we would get a dry erase board and we would write the whole thing up on the dry erase board. This could work right now. Somebody had a chalkboard or some means of doing this, and then erase a word and try to say it when the word's missing, and then erase another word and try to say it with the two words missing. And you can memorize it like that. So yeah, it'd be a great time where we've got this unusual situation to be able to use the catechism in ways that maybe otherwise it wouldn't be quite as easy.
Randall House talks a lot about D6, right? Early in the morning, talking to your kids about the Lord as you walk along the way and before you go to bed at night. Mm-hmm. And so it does create an opportunity to do what you're saying. You can hit your kids, hit your family in the morning. You can mention it lunchtime as you go along the way and hit it again at night. And the tendency is for it to really be infused and be able to really learn it and really be able to get these tasks down or these concepts down. So I think what you're saying is wonderful, Dr. Harrison. I've also talked to the folks at Randall House, and they've infused this into the curriculum, their new curriculum that comes out in the fall. And so we're hoping that our folks will embrace it, realize this is something that every Christian should know, and especially if you're a Free Will Baptist, and just use the format as an easy way to teach our kids, teach each other. It's not just for the kids, but all of us, so that we know that, and especially take this opportunity during this particular time. It can also be an opportunity to do some things, focus on some things we haven't before. Well, thank you, my friend, for stopping by to be with us. And
you're welcome.
Thank you for taking the time to engage in this endeavor. We appreciate all that you're doing, looking at sermons from the past, putting them on the index as you've done, all this work you've done, writing for commentaries and so forth. We appreciate your dedication, your studies, and your emphasis on getting the word out and teaching it to others. Thank you for doing that across the time, Dr. Harrison.